Are you taking, you're gonna make, do the minutes too, aren't you?
I think you're gonna get commitment out of it to do that.
In order, please.
You know what the caption is? It'll take more than that, kid.
Everyone's got an app for some screwdriver?
It's coming.
Call a meeting to order, please.
Is that an endorsement?
How you doing?
Very well, very good, man. Mr. Vogt, would you please call the attendance of the council?
Representative Miller?
Here.
Representative Phillips?
Here.
Senator Ray?
Here.
Senator Rhodey?
Here.
Representative Vasca?
Here.
Representative Malone?
Here.
Representative Byrne? Senator Bennett? Senator Brown? Representative Brown, excuse me.
Here.
Senator Eliason? Senator Dankworth? Representative Hayes?
Here.
Senator Kelly?
Here.
Senator Katula? Ten members.
We do have a quorum. The first item on the agenda is approval of minutes of the last meeting. I don't know if members have had an opportunity to review those or whether you want to take those up later.
Who would they be deferred, Mr. Chair?
Motion from Senator Ray that the action on the minutes be deferred. Members get a chance to look at them. Next item on the agenda, however, is covered in the unapproved minutes of the last meeting of the council. Page 3 of the minutes, the discussion of the July 9th meeting of the longevity bonus program and the decision by the council to take a position in that in the litigation that had been filed at that time. The purpose of this meeting is to consider an action that's come out of that that initiative by the Legislative Council, and I believe members have in front of them various documents from our own legal counsel and from the State Department of Law. I would at this time, unless there are objections from the members, to have the Attorney General or his designee go through the proposal that the department has developed on the litigation, pending litigation, longevity bonus program. I also like to note for the record that in addition to members of the council, that Senator Anderson and Senator Ferguson are also in attendance here today. Senator Sackett, didn't see him. Oh, there he is. I'm sorry, Senator Sackett and Representative Duncan. If there are no objections, Mr. Condon.
Mr. Chairman, I even have Mr. Condon at our table.
I would appreciate it.
I'm wondering if the other senators would sit here.
Yes, if the other members of the legislature would like to sit at the table, it might be easier for you to have your questions answered.
Do you want Mr. Condon to sit here?
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Ray.
Will, you got a strong voice, so it would probably be easier if you got to the end of the table so that we could keep seeing you. Just moving back and forth, the guys can all see it.
Well, you also feel like you're before the Finance Committee, depending on the budget.
and stand up all the time you're talking.
Senator Ray often goes to say things. Outside his district.
Mr. Condon.
Following the early July Legislative Council meeting, the attorneys for Rodney Vest came to, they came to me and they talked to Senator Ray, and they believed that an agreement could be worked out which would have the effect of staying the lawsuit and avoid the problems which the council was so concerned about in terms of the non-severability clause and the position that we took in the early July meeting. this agreement would, you go on for several pages with lots of whereases there. They are important to us, but they are really not the guts of the agreement. The guts of the agreement are that they will agree to staying the lawsuit in exchange for a commitment from the council that in effect is that the members of the council will use their best efforts to seek legislation which would treat all Alaskans who are 65 and older, been here for 1 year on July 1, 1982, it will treat them equally. And that means that you can get rid of the program if that's what you want to do, because that's treating everybody equally. Or you can open the program up to everyone. The quid pro quo here is that starting July 1, last month, all Alaskans who've been here for a year, who are 65 and older, who are going to become members of the class in this litigation, have got to be treated equally.
Chairman?
Yes.
Senator Ray.
Third one in there, well, if we can change the program or the substantive program.
That's correct. That's correct. And obviously, the agreement keeps the program alive. It keeps us from having to deal with it on emergency basis, if you will, and it is the least intrusive thing that I can think of that we can do in terms of having either the executive branch or the judicial branch interfering in the legislative process, which is what was your main concern, I believe, when you met in early July.
Mr. Attorney General, we viewed the law, you were right, but no severability issue, you should be able to get involved in changing in any way because, in fact, we provided for that cause. I think that your arrangements, Senator Ray, the other senators and House members are in it. I think it's a single act of near genius. I think this does, in my mind, not require a special session. In fact, this has come to pass. And that it's perfectly logical that any decision in the next session legislature be retroactive to July 1. I think that is a good decision. I think we've done a very good job. I think all of you involved.
Questions and comments from members of the council? Speaker Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attorney General, is there some other way that we can any decision on this lawsuit, through the normal legal process, so that we don't have to make an agreement at this time? We have to make a commitment to make an agreement with the next legislature in January, then with the union division to deal with the problem we have to make. We understand here the agreement says we have to commit to seek legislation so that all Alaska 65 and older are treated equally. Is that a foregone conclusion that they must be treated equally, that this is not defensible, that the courts haven't decided it's not defensible, it's only been decided administratively in the continuing office. And this is my impression that initially, on all of these programs, there was a presumption of constitutionality it seems to me this is, no, it's not. not only the Attorney General's office who is saying that the law and principle are agreeing to this agreement. It could be the same thing as the legislature taking the same commission.
Speaker, I have a question. It's my understanding, my inheritance, that anything affecting this program before the legislative decision on it is held in advance, and that the retroactive part is July 1 of any decision made by the next legislature. But in fact, if that is the case, then can't we make any decision legislatively, or can we only make the ones stated by Will Condon a moment ago, and ones apparently you're now concerned about that we only have the provision of treating everybody, quote, equally, which means no program, or one that everybody is absolutely on the basis of 1 year residence to be equal. Is that the only thing supported by the legislature to agree to this? Well, can the legislature make any decision?
This preserves all of your options.
Right, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yes, a moment ago I said questions or comments from any member of the council. I meant any member of the legislature. Senator Rohde?
First, I don't. The law is clear with regard to this point, and I think that if parties to the lawsuit against longevity bonus sought an order in court to stop the program, they would be successful based on the recent Supreme Court decision. I don't know if an attorney who disagrees with that statement. The court would, in all probability, order retroactively an award to that class of people. I don't really think that we have any options in that we're really doing anything that the court would not do in this matter. They would, in all probability, grant it retroactive to July 1st, and they would also probably grant the restraining order. I agree with Senator Petula that this is a very wisely crafted settlement that does preserve every option.
Representative Brown?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm also an attorney, and maybe I'm the one attorney that you haven't found yet. I learned a long time ago never to predict with any certainty the result in a case decided by judges who happen to be human beings. I would admit that the tendency is the direction of the opinion given by Senator Rohde. I suppose maybe the question that's implied in the line of questioning by the speaker is there anything short of this, Mr. Condon, is there anything short of this that you believe that the plaintiffs might agree to? For instance, if I don't know this to be the case, I'm not advocating it, but if there were some middle ground so that the determination of a class that would be less than a class, including every person who's the last before residence or more than for at least 1 year is 65 years older, but some class including the plaintiff in this action, for instance. I assume though that kind of thing may have been involved in your discussion, and if that was the case, I'd like to know that. It's my understanding, apparently, that I guess, they have good counsel here, that they got into this with their eyes wide open, knowing that theoretically, there might be only two members of the council, even still in the legislature next time. Even those who are allegedly on the list are theoretically defeated by a write-in candidate that hasn't shown up yet or something. And the council is the council, and the legislature is the legislature. And I assume that even knowing those things, they're agreeing to this. I don't think that we can absolutely bind the legislature any more than we can bind the future legislature. But either of those actions would be rising above the unconstitutionality. I like your comments on those matters. I guess the last things I said first, and also the question about any middle ground. And in addition to that, somewhere here, effectuate is misspelled on page 8, line 4. I might understand Will better than I might understand you.
Well, if you keep your ears open, if your mind clear, you'll understand.
You know,
all deference to the senator from Juneau, perhaps the Attorney General could respond to that first.
That was a long question. I don't think there was any middle ground. Obviously, they may not press ahead rapidly, although they told us that they will, if we can't work out something like this. Obviously, the council can't bind the legislature, and all this is really more of a political agreement or moral agreement, if you will. It's not legally binding, although it's legally binding on them not to move ahead with the lawsuit, but they have the legal obligation to go out there and get the class certified. We also believe that it was in the state's interest to try and get them to get everybody into the class, simply because we already have other people who are writing in and making claims, and we'd like to get them all handled together if we can. And of course, the agreement allows the state out if the plaintiffs are unsuccessful in getting everybody into the class. Obviously, if there are only a few dozen out there who don't become members of the class, we probably would not walk away from the agreement. But if there were several hundred people out there who opted out, then we obviously would not opt out.
A follow-up question. Home ground. The other matter I meant to comment on and ask about, it may be that judicial behavior would be, as my brother in the bar has indicated, but might not also judicial behavior be if anyone in this class were to press this issue, simply throwing the whole law out under the non-severability clause and simply turning with all the longevity points from that, at least possibly foreseeable result presumably, this agreement to avoid that result.
That's correct. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ray?
Perhaps I could invite my peer from Fairbanks. Mr. Camarillo and I talked about it, and it was specifically brought up, and I pointed it out, the fact that this legislative council most certainly will be not composed of the same membership, and as such, he could not expect anything relating to tying up members who were not even members, or to suggest that, and he said that it was a good faith effort from people on the council, and I assured him that if I was again on the council, he would get a good faith effort from me and those people of the same persuasion, because something has to be done about this thing, and we're just not going to sweep it under the rug. Now, you can either kill the program entirely after looking at it and saying you can no longer afford it, you can kill the program. Or you can enlarge it to take in those people who have been here for 1 year or more. Or you can come up with an entirely different program which treats those people 65 years of age or older. And if that comes up and his client does not fit within those confines, he's perfectly recognizes that his client will not get paid. Well, it seems the only fair agreement, all of our options are open. We can do anything we want. We can sit there and let the courts decide for us, or we can take the positive action, which we're supposed to do under the legislative persuasion, to go ahead and do it and change the program, eliminate it, enlarge it, do anything we want with it. Now, if we decide that those people 65 years of age or older who have meet the same requirements, the same class distinctions, and his client and those people who meet those distinctions, who've been here 1 year or more, we will pay them retroactively from July 1st of this year when the suit was filed and when it was taken place, and when the Attorney General, in his wisdom, said that the present law was in his estimation unconstitutional, and they would have to go ahead and enlarge it. It seems to me, at least, Fred, I hope I've helped you with that, but those things have been covered.
Leaves everything for the next session.
I understood it because I heard Will first, but I do understand.
So did you have a comment, Mr. Barrier?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Cotton didn't mention this. It's a purely technical point that two technical points that I think every lawyer understands, but I think should be mentioned. One, the agreement very specifically recognizes that the council cannot bind the legislature. And two, the agreement specifically provides that this agreement is no concession in any way on the constitutionality of the act. And I think both of those should be stated for the record.
Speaker Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This may be maybe agreement.
Speaker. Implement the agreement just approved by the council.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Kelly.
Mr. Chairman, when do you anticipate the next legislative council meeting?
That, of course, will be at the pleasure of the council. Senator Kelly, I would hope that we could have a council meeting immediately subsequent to the date of the primary election, and then hopefully not have to have another meeting until after the general elections are concluded in November.
By immediate and subsequent, you mean after?
Downtown.
After, yes.
Did we have the next one in Palmer on the 28th?
No.
Senator Ray?
Could we get the feeling of the Speaker and the President, if you want to appoint a committee or if you want to appoint a committee, and I guess probably those guys should be the ones that would search for a constitutional attorney or something. I would imagine those
that be is the big concern I have. There's two things were spoken to here. One was committee to do the things that Bill Barry shot probably can do with direction of yourself. But the constitutional and competent legal law firm might have an interest in this subject besides just really have real knowledge. That would take a little effort. We read, our gas and oil efforts were tremendous few years ago in this regard. And attorneys confuse me as to competence. Other attorneys hire whether they get competence right. I'm willing to participate in doing so, looking for and getting some of the people that I think put quite a bit of time in Judiciary Committee and so on to do this. Except the Speaker, I'm sure the Senate is willing to help fund a modest amount. It's pretty well allocated our funding, but we still would have a modest amount to initiate the hiring of competent legal help. I know our old-timers are willing to pioneers that Nels met with and the pioneers that I've met with, they're willing to they really encourage getting independent counsel. They're even willing to get independent counsel themselves on this subject, and I've asked that they not do so for this period of negotiation with the Attorney General. I think some of them listen to me, some of them may not. I spoke to some of Joe's constituents who I've served pioneers for years. And they're sort of withholding action. I think Red is also been into this. If we get a good legal counsel that maybe has a constitutional background, I'm going.
Speaker Hayes.
The question by Senator Ray was whether or not I'm in favor of the memorandum by Senator Ray and the two representatives from Juneau regarding the special committee. I am in favor of that. That's a good idea, and of course, if you want to do a we should retain a constitutional attorney. We may already have one retained, however. I don't know what the background of the one we have retained right now, because I noticed here in the July 9th meetings that there was a concern expressed over the recent Attorney General's decision regarding longevity bonus, which of course was a constitutional decision, and it says we President Brown stated that $5,000 be needed to secure outside counsel, so we probably
Senator Ray?
The 5,000 was, we needed what they call it, America's security.
Yeah.
So we had to hire a local spec down here just to put the China papers. That's all that is.
That'll barely take 5,000.
The 5,000 wasn't enough to get it.
That took the 5,000 just to rip your mat and call it up.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to thank Senator Ray again for your language.
What would it cost to get him here at a meeting?
For the money he got, he is.
Well,
could Joe and I get together and we'll pull everybody that's here, tell them what we thought about this, and who we thought maybe ought to either be appointed to make the selection. I'm perfectly willing to get together.
Yeah, I think that. Action.
Duncan, Representative Miller initiated the letter with Senator Ray, are satisfied with that too.
I think there should be, President Petrula, if that is, of course, the action the council desires, I would prefer there be a motion to that effect so that it's clear to those members of the council, including those who are not in attendance here today, what follow-up procedure the council is.
We'll get together within the next 2 weeks.
Thank you.
I move that you suggest that the Speaker and the President appoint a committee then to seek legal counsel. Outside counsel, constitutionally competent counsel, to review all of these
programs and have residency.
Yeah. Is there objection to the motion?
Mr. Speaker, only that I don't quite understand.
We'll appoint a committee jointly to do just that. The only reason I think we should come into it maybe is we do have responsibility for certain fundings on both sides that in the years past council has.
Mr. Chairman, if I could make a suggestion, rather than just the two speakers, because this is an interim committee, I think it should be a three-person committee, and I think the chairman should be a member of that group. In other words, the committee would be established by the two presiding officers and the chairman of legislative council, which makes it officially a legislative council subcommittee, which conforms the Constitution.
Well, I would object to that, and the officers are really not talking about the committee that you're talking about here. Those two are using their own interim funds simply to hire a constitutional attorney, is the way I understand it. We still got it open as to whether or not we should have an interim subcommittee to deal with recommendations made from this agreement. They're not dealing in that area, as far as I can see.
I misunderstood that. I thought they were. I thought they were going to do two things. Number one,
it can't be an interim committee because it has to be approved by resolution. There can be a subcommittee of the council, and as such, that subcommittee could be suggested by recommendations from the speaker, the president, and the chairman of the council.
Take the motion that way.
I move that there's nothing in front of us. Is there anything in front of us?
Yeah. Senator Petrula's motion is amended to include the chairman of the council. Yeah.
Or I meant it for the chairman of the council. Subcommittee of the council.
The motion.
Could I state his motion?
If you would, Senator.
I just withdraw my motion because Senator Ray has.
Without objection, motion withdrawn, Senator Ray.
Move that a subcommittee be of the council be appointed by the chairman of the council, the president of the Senate, the speaker of the House, to study the problems inherent residency requirements.
Brilliant. And employ counsel.
Okay?
Gold star.
Okay. Is there objection to the motion?
No, you are. Ask unanimous consent.
Unanimous consent has been asked. Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Is there further business to come before the council? There was a motion to defer the minutes of the last meeting. Whether council cares to take action on those right now, that or any other business, Speaker Hayes.
I move approval of the minutes.
There's a motion for the approval of the minutes of July 9th, 1982. Unanimous consent has been asked for.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Is there further business to come before the council? Hearing none?
We get together with the owner in person.
Why don't we do that as...